The echoes from the blessed life. With grace evolved, a path so divine. The prophet's best life, a treasure of time. Prophet's best life, a treasure of time. The echoes from the blessed life.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to a new program, The Echoes from the Blessed Life. Inshallah al-Kareem, throughout these programs, we will be discussing different aspects of the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We will also be listening to melodious knots, inshallah al-Kareem. Before we proceed further, let's listen to the blessing of Durood-e Pak. The final Prophet of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, Man salla alayya fi yawmi alfa marratin, lam yamut hatta yara maq'adahu min al-jannah. Meaning, whoever recites Durood upon me 1,000 times a day will not die until he sees his place in paradise. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Let's listen to the glorious verses of the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ أخذ الله ميثاق النبيين لما آتيتكم من كتاب وحكمة ثم جاءكم رسول مصدق لما معكم لتؤمنن به ولتنصرنه قال أأقررتم وأخذتم على ذلكم إصري قالوا أقررنا قال فاشهدوا وأنا معكم من الشاهدين فَمَنْ تَوَلَّى بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ
Subhanallah, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, we heard the tilawat of Surah Ali Imran, verse number 81 and 82. Let's listen to the translation of Kanzul Iman. And remember, when Allah took a promise from the prophets, whatever I give you of the book and wisdom, then the magnificent messenger, i.e. the Prophet Muhammad, comes to you, confirming the books you have. So you should certainly definitely believe in him, and you should certainly definitely help him. Allah said, O prophets, have you agreed and accepted my binding responsibility in this agreement? They all responded, We have agreed. He, Allah said, Now you become witnesses upon each other, and I myself am a witness with you. So, whoever turns away after this agreement, it is they who are the sinners. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Holy Quran is the blessed kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, revealed upon the beloved of Allah, the most beloved Prophet of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Show your love to Quran by reading it daily, at least one ruku, one part of it. Inshallah al-Kareem, you'll see the benefits of it in this dunya and in the akhirah. Inshallah al-Kareem. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Let's proceed forward, and now we'll listen to a beautiful knot. We have a guest, inshallah, who will recite the naat for us, Brother Zahoor Hussain Attari. Zahoor Bhai, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Zahoor Bhai?
Alhamdulillah, how are you?
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, ala kulli hal. Which naat are you going to read today for us?
I will be reciting Tu Shamme Risalat Hai Alam Tera Parwana by Mawlana Mustafa Raza Khan Nuri Rahmatullahi Ta'ala.
SubhanAllah, MashaAllah.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulallah wa sallam alayka ya Allah. Tu shamme risalat hai, alam tera parwana. Tu shamme risalat hai, alam tera parwana. Tu mahe nubuwat hai. ساقی کوثر کے چہرے سے نقاب اٹھے جو ساقی کوثر کے چہرے سے نقاب اٹھے ہر دل بنے میں چمکے اٹھے ایمان کی طلعت سے دل اپنا چمکے اٹھے ایمان کی طلعت سے کر آنکھ بھی نورانی رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانہ سرکار کی جلووں سے روشن ہے دل نوری سرکار کی جلووں سے روشن ہے دل نوری تا حشر رہے روشن نوری کا یہ کاشانہ تا حشر رہے روشن نوری کا یہ کاشانہ تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانہ تو ماہ نبوت ہے اے جلوہ جانانا
ماشاءاللہ سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ ماشاءاللہ My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah, we have a special guest in our program and he'll be with us for the rest of the programs as well, Muhammad Ishaq Attari Madani. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
How are you, Ishaq bhai?
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen ala kulli hal. How are you, Yahya?
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen ala kulli hal. Inshallah, Azawajal, we'll be talking to Ishaq bhai throughout the programs, all of our episodes as well, Inshallah al-Kareem. Today, our topic is the blessed events before the arrival of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. When the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was about to bless this dunya, amazing events happened throughout. And Inshallah, Azawajal, we'll be discussing those events. So Ishaq bhai, were there any events thousands of years ago prior to the arrival of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam?
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Yes, Yahya bhai, there were many such miraculous events which took place before the arrival of our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And all of these miraculous events, they were announcing that the beloved, the final Prophet of Allah Almighty is soon to arrive and bless this world with his presence.
MashaAllah. Can you specify some of those events?
So before we go on to hear about any one of these events, it's important to note that the information in regards to the final Prophet of Allah Almighty, to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this information was not only provided by the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, this information was not only provided by the Prophets alayhim salam, but it is also what motivated the studies of the scholars who followed those prophets, the scholars who were from the nations of those Prophets alayhim salatu wasalam. And these scholars, what they did was after having received this information from their blessed prophets, they didn't just keep this information to themselves, rather they shared this information with whomever they met. Whenever they got the chance, they would mention that the final Prophet of Allah will soon arrive. They would tell the people, whether the people were of the same beliefs or not, whether the people were of the same tribe or not, whether the people were of the same country or not, they would let this message, they would spread this message amongst the people of the world. That is why that when you look at the history of the past, you see that this information that the final Prophet of Allah is arriving was not only limited to the people who followed the Prophets alayhimu salatu wasalam. It wasn't limited only to the people who followed Prophet Musa alayhi salam or Prophet Isa alayhi salam. Rather, even people who were amongst the mushrikeen, people who did not follow these Prophets alayhimu salatu wasalam, who lived in far off lands away from this message, even these people were aware that the final Prophet of Allah Almighty will soon be blessing this world with his presence.
SubhanAllah. So you're saying that the books that were revealed prior to the final book, which is the Holy Quran, such as Tawrat, Zubur, and Injil, even they had a description of the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam?
Yes. Alhamdulillah. The description of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the arrival
of the final prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the characteristics, the blessed name of the beloved prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was mentioned in the previously revealed books of Allah Almighty.
Subhanallah. Any specific event that happened prior to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like thousands of years ago, that tells us that yes, this is actually, it did, something happen?
Yes, alhamdulillah. There is such an event. And this event took place more than 1,000 years before the blessed arrival of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this event, it was in regards to one of the kings of Yemen. And this king, he was famously known as Tubba the First or Tubba Awwal. Now this king, his real name was not Tubba. Tubba was a title. And there were many other kings with this title as well. But this specific Tubba king, he was the first Tubba king. That is why he's known as Tubba the First or Tubba Awwal.
MashaAllah.
Now the real name, according to the scholars of this king, As'ad, he was famously known as Tubba the First, Himyari. Now this king, he was from Yemen. Now this king, who was famously known as Tubba the First, Himyari, he was not only the king of Yemen, rather he was the king of the surrounding lands as well. And at one point, he decided to tour his kingdom. He decided to take a large procession, large group of people along with him to tour his country. And as I'm sure you're aware, whenever a dignitary, someone who holds a great status in this world, when they decide to embark on a journey or a tour of their kingdom, they don't tend to go on their own, rather they travel with a large entourage. And this was the case with this king, Tubba the First, Himyari, as well. He had with him an army of approximately 130,000 who were mounted on horses. And he also had with him in his army 113,000 people on foot.
Allahu Akbar.
Now just imagine how large this procession was, how large his entourage was. And as can be expected with a king traveling with such a large procession, so many people, and with all of their glory and their pomp, whichever city they visited, the people would come out and welcome them and celebrate their arrival. And this was common in whichever city they traveled, whichever city or land that they would pass through, the people would come out to welcome them, honor them, respect them, celebrate their arrival. And they carried on going from land to land, city to city in this way, until eventually they reached the outskirts of the blessed city of Makkatul Mukarramah. He was surprised, and so were the people with him, that no one came out to greet him. No one came out to honor him or show him the respect that he had seen in every other land that he had passed through before. He had not seen that respect when he arrived at the outskirts of the blessed city of Makkatul Mukarramah. So curious as to what happened, and surprised as well that the people of Mecca have not come out to welcome us. They haven't come out to respect us and honor us and show us the honor that all the other people of the other lands showed.
So he already had an expectation, like every city that were welcoming him. So the city out in the outskirts of Mecca, they will welcome him as well. But it did not live up to his expectation. Now things have changed.
Obviously the king, he expected the same outcome, the same result from the city of Makkatul Mukarramah that he had received in every other land, in every other city. But to his surprise, and contrary to his expectations, once they arrived at the outskirts of the blessed city of Makkatul Mukarramah, no one came out. No one honored them. No one showed them the respect that they received everywhere else. So the king, in this surprised state, he called his chief advisor, his chief minister, to ask him the reason why the people of the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah had not come out to honor them, to respect them, to celebrate their arrival. Now the chief advisor, he knew the reason, he was aware of this reason, so he told his king, he said, "Your Highness, in this city, there is a famous house known as Baytullah, the house of God. And the people of this city, they are the custodians, the caretakers of this Baytullah, this house of God. And because of this very reason, the people of this city, they are respected by everyone around them. They are respected by all the people of the surrounding lands because they are famously known as the caretakers or the custodians, Baytullah, the house of Allah." So our large procession, our entourage, this huge gathering of people that we have arrived here with, this has no comparison, it bears no comparison to the honor that these people already have due to being the custodians of Baytullah.
Subhanallah.
Because of this very reason, because of the reason that these people have been honored to have Baytullah within their city and have been honored with the privilege of being the custodians, the caretakers of Baytullah, these people of Makkah, they won't give you any respect. They won't show you the honor that you expect. Now the king, first he was curious and surprised, but after hearing all of this, the king, he became angry. As could be expected, this king, since he left his home, he has been honored, he has been respected, and he has been received with many celebrations wherever he's gone. And now he's come to the city of Makkah, and the people have not honored him, they have not respected him. Now he has learned that they have a house in this city known as Baytullah, and because of this house, they will not honor anyone, nor give respect to anyone, because they are the ones who are respected due to the blessings of Baytullah.
Subhanallah.
So the king, as soon as he learned this, he became very angry and he made an intention in his heart. And this intention was that before I leave the city of Makkah, I will destroy the Holy Kaaba.
Allahu Akbar.
And I will also kill the people of Makkah.
Allahu Akbar.
He made an intention that I will destroy the Holy Kaaba, I will raise it to the ground. Now, as soon as he made this intention, blood began to come from the mouth of the king.
Allah.
It began to spurt from his nose and his eyes as well. And now the king, he became afflicted by the punishment of Allah Almighty. So all of the physicians, we've heard how many physicians came with him. The physicians came to look after the king, but the smell from this blood which was coming out of the mouth, the nose, the eyes of the king was so repulsive, so bad, that the people, they couldn't come close to him. That's how bad it smelt, because this was a punishment from Allah Almighty. So the physicians, they still tried their best to see what was wrong with the king. They tried everything in their power to figure out what is wrong with our king, but to no avail. No matter what they tried, they couldn't figure it out. Everything seemed to be fine. The king seemed to be perfectly fine, apart from the fact that there's blood coming out of his mouth, his nose, his eyes. And this blood has a very repulsive, very bad smell.
Lord.
Now this condition of the king, it worsened to such an extent that the king could not even rest. He could not even sleep at night. Eventually, one of the learned men, who was also a God-fearing scholar, he came to check on the king. And as he saw the symptoms of the king, and he checked the king, he realized that this is not any normal illness, this is not any normal disease that the king is facing. Rather, this is a spiritual disease. This is a spiritual ailment. This is a punishment from the Almighty Creator, Allah Almighty, that the king is now going through this difficulty. So this scholar, he asked the king, "Oh my king, O Tuba, Have you made any bad intention? Have you intended to do anything bad with the people of Makkah because they did not respect you or honor you the way that you had been respected or honored in all the other lands that we passed through? And then the scholar said, if you have made any such intention, then ask Allah for forgiveness, repent in the court of Allah Almighty, and this ailment, this difficulty that you are facing, it will go away.
So this one thing that I would like to point out, that he had so many physicians, but none of them were able to provide cure to him, because they were there to give him cure in case something happened. But I mean, glory to Allah, right? Subhanallah. But these people of knowledge, people who were scholars, Allah-fearing scholars, they were able to detect the illness of his heart and were able to provide him cure. How important, my dear viewers of Madani channel, how important it is to seek religious knowledge. Subhanallah. Jee Sahib, continue please.
So the king, after having heard these wise words from this scholar, he heeded the advice of this scholar. And he immediately abandoned this evil intention which he had made in his mind. As soon as he abandoned this intention to destroy the Holy Kaaba and kill the people of Makkah, as soon as he made this intention and he repented in the court of Allah Almighty, the blood which was coming from his mouth, his nose and his eyes, and the bad smell along with it, all stopped.
Allahu Akbar.
Everything ended. As soon as he changed his intention from a bad intention and he removed that bad intention from his heart, all of these symptoms, this punishment from Allah Almighty, immediately stopped. He recovered completely, and in joy of having received this recovery after having abandoned his evil intention, this king, he ordered for a silk covering, a gilaf, for the Holy Kaaba to be made.
So was he Tubba Himyari or Tubba Awwal Himyari? Was he the first one who covered the blessed Kaaba with the gilaf?
He was the first man in history to cover the Holy Kaaba.
Did Tubba Himyari know about the arrival of the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? Because now what we've just talked about is about him bringing iman, bringing faith upon the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So inshallah, this story has not ended yet.
Oh,
it carries on.
Oh, mashallah.
So this king of Yemen, Tubba, the first Himyari, he continued with his tour, and eventually his entourage next arrived in Al-Madinatul Munawwara.
Subhanallah.
The ulama, the scholars in his group, they had studied the revealed books of Allah Almighty, and they had learned from these books the signs of the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara. So once they arrived, these scholars, these ulama, they took the soil of Madinatul Munawwara. They inhaled its fragrance.
Allahu Akbar.
They looked at the features of the place that they had now arrived in.
Subhanallah.
The signs of the place where the final Prophet of Allah Almighty would migrate to, as indicated in the previously revealed scriptures, were all present. They were all apparent in this blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara.
Subhanallah.
So these scholars, they became overjoyed. They were so happy that they had discovered the city which they had learned from the prophets, from the previous nations, from the divine scriptures of Allah Almighty, that this land is the land in which the final, the greatest prophet of Allah Almighty will migrate to.
Allah.
So on becoming overjoyed on this discovery, the scholars, they decided that they wanted to live in this city. They decided that they did not want to move on. So an entourage, a group of scholars, they gathered together and they went to the king. Now, according to the scholars, 400 of these scholars who were with the procession, the entourage of Tubba Awwal Himyari, they went to Tubba and they said, "Oh Tubba, we have found in this land the signs which are mentioned in our previously revealed scriptures. And we have found this land to be the land in which the final, the last prophet of Allah Almighty will migrate to this land, will reside in this land.
Allah.
So we are here to ask you to let us stay in this city. Let us remain here. We would not like to move on and continue the remainder of this journey with you. And they stated that if they were fortunate, that one day they would meet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if they cannot meet the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then at least the dust from the sandals of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would land upon their graves.
Allahu Akbar. This was the love they had for the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, even before his arrival. Allahu Akbar.
Subhanallah. This also goes on to show just how much love the previous prophets, the previous Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, had instilled within their nations, within their people, within their ummahs, for the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Subhanallah, mashallah.
Now these scholars, after having pleaded in the court of the king, and the king after having heard these pleas and these requests from the scholars and advisors, he agreed to build 400 homes for these 400 scholars. And he also built a large house for the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
So before the arrival, Tubba Himyari built the house for the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Subhanallah.
Alhamdulillah. So just imagine that this king, after having experienced everything he experienced in the blessed city of Makkatul Mukarramah, now he arrives in the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara, and he learns about the final Prophet of Allah Almighty. And after having just learned about the final Prophet of Allah Almighty, he tells the 400 scholars who came to him to request to remain in the blessed city, that not only would he build them 400 houses, but he would also build a large grand house for the final Prophet of Allah Almighty as well. Subhanallah. So this king, Tubba, he left instructions that when the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam arrives in the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara, the final Prophet should stay in the comfort of the home which he had just ordered to be built for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He also left sufficient money to provide for the needs of the 400 scholars which he was leaving behind in the city of Madinatul Munawwara. The king then dictated a letter. So this wasn't it. He did not just build the 400 houses for the scholars. He did not just build the grand house for the final Prophet of Allah. Rather, he left a letter as well. He dictated a letter to his chief scholar, and he requested this scholar to present the letter to the final Prophet of Allah Almighty sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he sallallahu alayhi wasallam would arrive in the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara. He further requested the king, Tubba Awwal Himyari, he further requested that should he die before meeting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's talking to his chief scholar, that should you die before meeting the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this letter that I'm leaving in your care, I want you to pass it down from generation to generation, your descendants, your son and his son after him, until eventually the final Prophet of Allah Almighty arrives and this letter of mine reaches the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is exactly what happened, that this letter, it was passed down from this chief scholar to his descendants. And after more than 1,000 years, the number of children from these 400 ulama, these 400 scholars who had originally traveled with Tubba Awwal Himyari to the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara, their children, their descendants had increased to such a degree that they made up a large percentage of the people who lived in the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara.
Subhanallah.
And after such a long period of time, this letter had also continued to be passed down from descendant to descendant until eventually it reached the hands, came into the possession of the Sahabi of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu.
Subhanallah.
So as I mentioned, this letter, it came into the possession of the Sahabi Rasul, Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. And Sayyidina Abu Ayyub handed this letter over to his slave, Abu Layla, for safekeeping. And eventually, when the people of Madinatul Munawwara heard that the final prophet, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was to arrive in Madinatul Munawwara from Makkatul Mukarrama on his hijrah, they began to make preparations to welcome the final prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Each one of them wanted the beloved prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to be welcomed into and grace their own home. Just imagine how it would have been that every companion, everyone is hoping that the final prophet of Allah Almighty stay in our house. Now, the beloved prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam arrived in Madinatul Munawwara, and everyone's requesting that the beloved prophet stay in their house. And our beloved prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam instructed them, "Leave the reins of my camel, as my camel has already been instructed by Allah Almighty to stop where he has decreed." Subhanallah. So this camel, it was unrestrained. The camel was let loose, and this blessed camel, it went down the street and stopped outside the house which the king of Yemen, Tubba Awwal Himyari, had built for the final prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. This is one of the signs of Allah Almighty. It's one of the miracles of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
MashaAllah. So Ishaq, we've also read that when the letter reached Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam praised Tubba Himyari.
Yes, alhamdulillah, inshallah, we hear this as well. It said that when the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed the house of Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Al-Ansari radiallahu anhu with his blessed presence, Abu Layla took the letter which he had been given by Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Al-Ansari for safekeeping, and he brought this letter to the final prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now imagine, this letter has been passed down generation to generation for over 1,000 years, and now it is finally reaching the final prophet of Allah Almighty sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now Abu Layla, he appeared before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with this letter, and the beloved prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on seeing Abu Layla approaching him, asked, "Are you Abu Layla?" Allah, now Abu Layla, he became stunned. He was surprised because he had never met the final prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam before. And he was surprised that the final prophet had just arrived in Madinatul Munawwara from Makkatul Mukarrama, but already knew his name. Allah. So Abu Layla inquired, "And who are you?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, "I am Muhammad, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Give me the letter of the king of Yemen that you have with you."
Allah, this shows the ilmul ghaib of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Knowing the name of Abu Layla, that's Allah a part of their ilmul ghaib of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Knowing about the letter, knowing who the letter is from, this is all from the ilmul ghaib of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
What did this letter contain?
This letter from Tubba Awwal Himyari, the king of Yemen. In this letter, he wrote to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This letter said, "To Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah Almighty and his messenger, the seal of all prophets and the messenger of the Lord of all worlds. May Allah Almighty send blessings and peace upon him. From Tubba Awwal, the first, O Prophet of Allah, I pledge my faith in you, Allah, and in the book that will be revealed to you, and I follow the path of your religion. If I am fortunate to see you, it will be with great pleasure. However, if this is not possible, I would request that you intercede for me and not to forget me on the day of judgment, as I am from among the first of your nation and followers, even before your arrival.
Allah,
I follow your religion and the religion of your father, Ibrahim alayhi salam." SubhanAllah Azza wa Jal. These were the words of the letter of the king Tubba Awwal Himyari. Now in this letter we learn that Tubba Awwal Himyari not only accepted Islam, he not only brought Iman upon the final prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but he also requested for the shafa'at, for the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the day of judgment.
Subhanallah.
What a fortunate king.
Indeed, mashallah. So, Ishaq, before we move to another event, before we proceed with another event, what were the condition of Arab before the arrival of the final prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam?
So if we look at the condition, the state of the Arabs before the arrival of the beloved prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was a very bad state. It was a very dreadful state. Ignorance, idolatry was widespread. Everyone had their own idols which they would worship. Some people, they worshiped the sun, some worshiped the moon, some worshiped stones, trees, rivers, and even mountains. They would worship things that they made with their own hands. The Holy Kaaba, which was built for the purpose of worshiping only Allah Almighty, had 360 idols inside of it. Yet no one had the courage to speak out against this practice.
Allahu Akbar.
This was the state of the Arabs. In addition to all of their false beliefs, they were also morally and ethically corrupt. The Arabs, they were known to be very short-tempered and would fight over the smallest of matters. And these matters, they would eventually turn into disputes which would last for generations. They had no shame or mercy, and they would bury their own daughters alive. They would offer human sacrifices to their idols, and they used to deem women as just objects of pleasure and entertainment. Women were considered as property, and men had many wives. And when a man would die, his wife, the women, they would be inherited by their other family members.
Allah.
The Arabs, they had no concept of evil. As you can imagine, if all of these things are common amongst them, then they have no concept of what is right and what is wrong. They would badmouth each other, they would gamble, they would commit robberies and looting, and war was normal for them. They consumed alcohol and it was a part of their life. And as you can imagine, they had not the slightest worry in regards to what is halal or what is haram. And it was as if they were just lost in the depths of ignorance. And this is the condition, the state of the Arabs before the arrival of our final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
And it is amazing that when Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam arrived and when he announced his prophethood, everything changed, right? Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave rights to men, women, children, animals. Everybody got their rights. Alhamdulillah. This is how beautiful our Islam is. Alhamdulillah. Yes. Brother Ishaq, Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasalam is a grandson of Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and son of Sayyidina Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Can you shed some light on the father of Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasalam? Or rather gain blessings through the zikr of the father of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam.
The father of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's name is Sayyidina Abdullah radiyallahu anhu. And he radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was the most beloved son of Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this was common with the ancestors of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the nood of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would be transferred from, you know, each generation to the next until eventually the arrival of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam took place in this world. So the nood of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Nur-e Muhammadi, would be shining brilliantly upon the forehead of Sayyidina Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. As you mentioned earlier, that scholars of the past nations who recognized the signs of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam And from amongst them, some of these people of Syria, they recognized Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu anhu as the man who would become the father of the final prophet of Allah Almighty sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the descriptions which they had read in their scriptures. So these people, they plotted to kill Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu anhu many times. On one occasion, Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu anhu had gone to the forest to hunt, and some of these people, they followed him with the intention to kill him. However, Allah Almighty sent creatures to protect Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu anhu from these people and their evil plots. The creatures, they drove these people away and returned Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu anhu safely to Makkatul Mukarramah. Now, coincidentally, Wahab ibn Abd Manaf was also in the forest, and he saw this whole event unfold before his very own eyes. He immediately became very fond of Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu anhu, and he returned home intending to marry his daughter Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha to Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu anhu.
Subhanallah.
So through some friends of his, Wahab, he sent a marriage proposal to Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib for the marriage of Sayyidatuna Amina radiallahu anha to Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib found all of the qualities that he was looking for in a woman to marry to his beloved son. He found all of these qualities within Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha, and he married Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu anhu to Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha. At that time, Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu anhu was at the age of 24. And as history, as we have learned from the scholars, that after this blessed union, the nude of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the nude Muhammadi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was transferred from Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu anhu to Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha. 2 months after this nude Muhammadi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was transferred to the womb of Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha, Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib sent Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu anhu to Madinatul Munawwara to purchase some dates. On his way back, he radiallahu anhu became ill. Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu anhu did not recover from this illness, and at the age of 25, he radiallahu anhu passed away in Madinatul Munawwara.
When you talk about the Nur-e Muhammadi, the light of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being transferred, there's a book called Dalailun Nubuwwah. It is stated in this book that Muhaddis Abu Nu'aym narrated that Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma said, "The night when the nur of the Nabuwa of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was transmitted from the back of Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu to the blessed body of Sayyidatuna Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, all the quadruped, meaning four-legged animals of the entire earth, especially those of the Quraysh, were enabled by Allah Azza wa Jal to talk. They eloquently said, 'Tonight, the greatest Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who will lead and brighten the entire world, has emerged in his mother's womb.' The animals of the east congratulated those of the west. Similarly, the animals of oceans and rivers gave the good news to each other that the time of the birth of Abul Qasim had approached," meaning came near. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Inshallah, we'll continue the conversation, but we'll move on to another naat from Brother Zuhur.
So the naat that we'll be reciting now is Ni'mat-e Bantta by Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulullah wa sallam alayka ya نعمتیں بانٹتا جس سمت وہ ذیشان گیا نعمتیں بانٹتا چلتا جس سمت وہ ذیشان گیا ساتھ ہی منشی رحمت کا قلم دان گیا ساتھ ہی منشی رحمت کا قلم دان گیا نعمت بانٹتا جس سمت وہ ذیشان گیا نعمت بانٹتا جس سمت وہ ذیشان گیا ساتھ ہی منشی رحمت کا قلم دان گیا ساتھ ہی منشی رحمت کا قلم دان گیا لے خبر جلد کے غیروں کی طرف دھیان گیا لے خبر جلد کے غیروں کی طرف دھیان گیا میرے مولا میرے آقا تیرے قربان گیا میرے مولا میرے آقا تیرے قربان گیا نعمتیں بانٹتا جس سمت وہ ذیشان گیا نعمتیں بانٹتا اور دل ہے وہ دل جو تیری یاد سے معمور رہا دل ہے وہ دل جو تیری یاد سے معمور رہا سر ہے وہ سر جو تیرے قدموں پہ قربان گیا سر ہے وہ سر جو تیرے قدموں پہ قربان گیا نعمتیں بانٹتا جس سمت وہ ذیشان گیا اور انہیں جانا انہیں مانا نہ رکھا غیر سے کام انہیں جانا انہیں مانا نہ رکھا غیر سے کام للہ الحمد میں دنیا سے مسلمان گیا للہ الحمد میں دنیا سے مسلمان گیا جان و دل ہوش و خرد سب تو مدینے پہنچے جان و دل ہوش و خرد سب تو مدینے پہنچے تم نہیں چلتے رضا سارا تو سامان گیا تم نہیں چلتے رضا سارا تو سامان گیا نعمتیں بانٹتا جس سمت وہ زیشان گیا ساتھ ہی منشی رحمت کا قلم دان گیا.
سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ ماشاء اللہ سوجل. We'll continue our discussion regarding the events that took place prior to the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Ishaq bhai, are there any events that are actually mentioned in the Holy Quran as well?
Yes, alhamdulillah, there is one such event that comes to mind, which is mentioned in the Holy Quran as well. This event actually took place a few months before the blessed arrival of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into this world. So during the lifetime of the grandfather of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu, there was a Yemeni governor by the name of Abraha. And this governor, he ordered the construction of a grand place of worship in Sana'a, which was the capital of Yemen. And his whole purpose behind the construction of this grand place of worship was to divert the pilgrims who would go to the holy Kaaba, the Baytullah, to perform their pilgrimage. He wanted to divert them to his own church instead. Obviously, when the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah found out, they were very angered. They weren't happy with this because everyone would visit the Baytullah, which is in the blessed city of Makkah al-Mukarramah, on a yearly basis to pay the respect and honor Baytullah. They would perform their pilgrimage to this blessed house. And now this Yemeni governor, he's trying to divert the pilgrims to his own place of worship instead. So angered by this, one of the people of Makkah, he traveled to this place of worship. And in this enraged state of his, he went into that place of worship and he defiled that place of worship by relieving himself within it. Now when Abraha found out, he became very angry and he swore that he would march an army to the blessed city of Makkah al-Mukarramah and destroy the holy Kaaba, the Baytullah. Now Abraha, he set forth with an army of elephants to attack the blessed city of Makkah al-Mukarramah with the intention of destroying the holy Kaaba. When his army reached the outskirts of the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah, they took many camels and livestock of the people of Quraysh. And amongst these camels, amongst these livestock animals, were approximately 200 camels which belonged to the grandfather of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu. And once Abraha found out that the leader of Quraysh has come, he went out to meet Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu and invited Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib into his tent. Abraha asked him, "What brings you here, O leader of Quraysh? What brings you to me?" So Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu said to him that as you approach the outskirts of the blessed city of Makkah al-Mukarramah, your army, your soldiers, they captured the livestock of the people of Quraysh. And amongst that were also my camels. So I have come here to you to request that you please return our property, our animals, back to us. On hearing this, Abraha, he said to Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib that I had a lot of respect for you. I had heard many stories of your bravery, but now seeing you only asking for your animals instead of begging me to spare your holy house, the house which you and your people have been made the custodians of, instead you've only asked for your animals. Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu replied that these animals, they are my property, they're my possession. So that is why I have come here to ask you to release and return my property to me. the Holy Kaaba also has an owner. The Holy Kaaba is the property of Allah Almighty, and He Almighty is the protector of the Holy Kaaba.
And Subhanallah, how did Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala protected the Holy Kaaba, right? It's revealed in the Holy Quran. I think if I'm not mistaken, you are trying to mention Surah Fil.
Yes, these are the exact events which are mentioned in the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Fil. Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu, he replied, "Do as you wish. This is between you and Allah. Who am I to plead with you?" Allah. So after this whole conversation ended, Abraha ordered that the animals, the livestock that his soldiers had taken, he ordered that they be returned to Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib. So Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib, he got the animals and he returned to Makkatul Mukarramah with them. Once he arrived in Makkah, he addressed the people and said, "O people of Makkah, take your belongings and seek refuge in the mountains of Makkah." Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu then himself went to the Holy Kaaba. He grabbed the doors of the Holy Kaaba and he made dua in the court of Allah Almighty. He said, "O Allah, indeed every individual protects his house. So protect your house." After this dua, Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu took his family towards the mountains in order to witness the power of Allah Almighty. At the break of dawn, Abraha, with his army and soldiers and elephants, began marching towards the Holy Kaaba. When they reached near the city of Makkatul Mukarramah, Mahmud suddenly sat down. And no matter what they did, no matter how they pushed it and tried to move the elephant would not move. At that very moment, a flock of birds. So these birds, the Ababil, they began to pelt the army of Abraha with these stones. And the army of Abraha was destroyed. It is reported by the scholars that each one of these pebbles, once they fell upon the soldiers, they would pierce the body of the soldiers and then rip through the bellies of the elephants, destroying the whole army.
Allahu Akbar. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, in today's program, we discussed about the events that took place prior to the birth of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam. The final event that Brother Ishaq Madani talked about, it tells us that no matter how big the problem is, the ultimate Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala can relieve all the problems for us, right? I mean, elephants are such huge animals, and look, they were powerless in front of the command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. A small pebble took the animals out, took the elephants out. Inshallah, through the sadaqah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam, no matter how big our problem is, inshallah, if you pray to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, if you make dua in the court of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and seek the sadaqah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam, all our problems and worries will be resolved as well. Inshallah, we'll see you again in our next program, where we will talk about the events during the birth of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam. Sallu ala al-Habib, Sallallahu Ta'ala ala Muhammad, Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam.
The echoes from the blessed life, with grace evolved, a path so divine. The Prophet's best life, a treasure of time. The Prophet's best life, a treasure of time. The echoes from